Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Brandy has settled now from his exciting few days, but the fallout from the grand final continues, except this time we've got an ex-NRL Rookie of the Year invading the pitch. And why did Ryan Madison opt to take a three-match ban instead of paying a $4,000 fine? Greg Alexander, my co-host, looking fit as a fiddle this morning. I mean, he's come through the celebrations, he's had his little hangover day, and now he's back and bubbling. Welcome, Brandy.
Thank you, Vossie. Good to see you here, good to see you on time, and here for the opening. There's Champions League action on too, something you didn't talk about this morning. Plenty of it happening, which we'll update throughout the show. Have you ever heard of Andrew Thorburn? Do you know who Andrew Thorburn is? Well, you do now.
Only very briefly. What a reign he had as... this is the, you tell the story, the Essendon boss.
Yeah,
boss.
Well, became the Essendon boss 2 days ago, and yesterday, after just one day in the role as the new CEO of the Essendon Football Club, resigned. So he resigned just one day after being appointed as the CEO. Controversial views relating to homosexuality and abortion have been tied to a church Mr. Thorburn leads. So he's a church leader, Christian church leader, and their views, apparently there've been some print about their views on homosexuality and abortion. So the Essendon board stepped in, said had they no prior knowledge of this before they appointed him, but has now resigned.
See, it seems ridiculous. On the face of it, just basically, if we just took what you've just said there, that they weren't aware of it. They weren't aware of it because he doesn't go out and shout it from the rooftops. I mean, spruik it, exactly. So he's been selected because of his business acumen and all the rest. Suddenly he becomes not qualified. We're getting very selective, aren't we? In our moral high ground, it would seem. I reckon a lot of people have a problem with this. You don't need to know, you don't need to follow the AFL. You don't need to know anything about the Essendon Club and the dramas they've had, but he steps in as CEO. But the actual, meat in this sandwich, I think we need to comment on. I mean, you have a view on that.
So it emerged that the church he leads has published a series of articles critical of homosexuality and abortion. And they gave Mr. Thorburn an ultimatum, he decided to stand down. So, and his reply to that was, they made it clear that my Christian faith and my association with the church are unacceptable in our culture if you wish to hold a leadership position in society.
All right, how does this sit with everyone? 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. I throw a hypothetical, what if a player, a representative, it could be a rugby league player or a rugby union player, going to represent their country, and finds out, he goes to this church and this church has these views. Well, to be quite honest, if you want to go the nth degree, any Christian, I mean, well, does that mean that the seven Manly players, let's tie in a real story.
We had our own version this year.
Yeah, do we ban them? Do we ban them because of the views of the church? It's the Christian view. So, I mean...
That'd be like Manly standing them down and saying, look, they're not our views, so you're gone. No,
that's right, you're gone. So, you can have your say on that. I mean,
it's a little bit different with a leadership role like the CEO.
But if he's not an active spokesman, I mean, as I said, anyone who worships the Bible or believes in the word of the Bible, then you are putting out these views which are contrary to much in modern society. Again, I don't want to get bogged down with religious debate for 3 hours this morning, Brandy, but I reckon this is yet another watershed moment in how things have changed and how selective we are. So anyway, there's that. Now, I do want to go to an incident on Grand Final Day, and nothing to do with the Panthers, nothing to do with the arrogant Panthers. The pitch invader. Who saw that coming out of left field?
Did you see it happen live? No, I didn't either.
No, didn't. Heard that the padding was being ripped off. But I saw a photo of the pitch invader and I thought, well, that's interesting. He's wearing football boots. That was my only impression. I didn't look closely at the face, didn't know who it was. I thought, Pitch Invader is wearing boots, so he's come prepared.
He's
got
smart.
Boots to run on the field. Now, why do you have boots? Because Mark McLinden, the former Canberra star, he's very much for the environment and saving our kids. Thanks, Mark, for your troubles. And thought that grand final night was a good one. And his quote was something like, look, I want to apologise to all the players that, you know, on a night where they're achieving their dreams. Well, that's bloody right, Mark. So you should. Piss off. But choose your moment. But anyway, would it surprise you to know that he lives in Mullumbimby these days, Mark McLinden? couldn't see that coming.
Look, I don't like to generalise either, but yes, that doesn't surprise me after what he did. So his plan was to disrupt
the grand final. Stop the game. Yeah, not just he was ripping off the padding. Yep. He wanted to stop the game, but then later said, you know, I wanted to apologise to the players, blah 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 blah. Mm. Well, that's insincere.
So he did come prepared, and knowing that the surface was a little bit dewy, and in his ability to beat the security guards, he put the boots on. Apparently he put on a good right foot step to evade them early, but then...
a few flashbacks. Some great days.
So, obviously, we've upgraded our security guards too because, you know, we've seen Pitch Invaders, you know, chased Waddy Holmes in the State of Origin. Mm. Like, Waddy was 120 kilos. They couldn't catch Waddy.
No.
So, obviously, there's been a step up in security in terms of their athletic ability.
Well, I'm looking at the photo. I'm looking at the photo now. I didn't realise the security guard is wearing boots too. He's got studs on.
Damn, that's smart.
Do the security guards can you have different length of studs depending on the conditions, the dewy conditions and the rain? Would they have multiple boots, the security guards, to pick from? Is an issue.
Well, I guess, you know, if it rained, they might need to bring the long sprigs.
Yeah. So I just will read the quote just so that we present it in all its in fairness. Mark McLinden said, I did not want to be an activist. I did not want to stop playing grand final night and jeopardise the childhood dreams of 34 players, not to mention the joy and excitement of hundreds of thousands of fellow footy fans, right? Mm. But, he says, the world's governments, including our own, are steering us into a rapidly unstable climate, the consequences of which we are already witnessing with floods, fires, droughts and heatwaves. Well, Mark, why couldn't you have done it outside the ground? Why, you did try and stop the game. You did rip the padding off the posts and all the rest. So you said that you didn't want to do it, but you did it.
So he's been fined $5,000 and I think a life ban from a core stadium.
Yeah, that's it. $5,000.
Well, that's good. Good luck, Mark McLinden.
Well, if we want to stop people coming on, I mean, wearing football boots and all the rest, how about $25,000? What about $25,000?
That might make him think about it. Yeah.
$25,000. All right. What's a fair fine? We'll put that out there. We'll put that out. What is a fair fine for the Pitch Invader?
Like, now, talking
what's a
fines,
fair figure?
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Well, $10,000. I think $10,000 would make them think about doing it.
Yeah, going $25,000.
Five, you can sort of, you know, you could live with five. Yeah. I tell you, you can't live with four. That's Ryan Madison. So now, Ryan Madison had the option. Mm. To take a fine, which was a $4,000 fine, which does sound steep. Is that one of the bigger fines that we've had this year? Like, normally they seem to be around the 2,000 mark, 1,500.
Well, I think Jared Rhea Hargreaves in total had about 12,000 fines this year, but that's multiple.
Multiple. But I'm talking one-off. That's as big as I've heard.
Yep.
So he's decided to waive the fine and sit out three games.
Mm. How does that work? Does that mean he still gets his contract money? Now, Ryan Madison, what signed, if you believe Wayne Bennett, they threw at him about $650 a year. So he's on, what, about $600 at Parramatta? $600,000. So does he still get his contract money for those 3 weeks that he's not playing and doesn't pay the fine? So he doesn't pay fine out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
And Parramatta still pay him for 3 weeks he doesn't play. They would pay him, wouldn't they? Because he's still going to be training.
Yeah, well, they would. Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't dock him.
Don't pay the fine.
Players don't. Yeah, players don't. I don't think players get docked money for suspensions unless it's a big one. Like unless it's a 10-week suspension, you're missing half the year. So, but can Madison serve those? Because I know we had some chat about it this year about which games players could serve suspensions in.
Man.
Can they serve them in a regulation trial, or is it just in the Charity Shield and the All-Stars?
I don't think you can serve it in the regulation trial. Tyrone May, with his suspended sentence, cannot serve those two games in the... Taylan May cannot serve those two, nor can any player. Others
but
that,
you used to be able
so,
to.
Tane Milne might. Yeah.
You used to be able to serve them in sanctioned NRL trials.
Yeah, but you're saying because now we have these actual, you know, it's not Mickey Mouse trials necessarily. It's 2 weeks
All-Stars.
Of organised trial matches.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, whatever happens, he will at least miss a competition game.
Yeah.
And probably
do you respect what Ryan Madison has done? That he will still be paid by the club. So your membership money, you're part of the pool of revenue that a club spends, and part of that money goes to pay Ryan Madison 3 weeks where he doesn't play for the club, but he won't pay out of his own kick a fine.
Let's just say he's on 600. Yeah. So he's not gonna pay the $4,000 fine.
That's right.
To make himself available for three games.
To now, play.
It
to do
might
his job.
Turn out. Yeah, it might turn out that he's gone for three competition games. So so he's missing the first three rounds of the NRL because he won't pay a $4,000 fine? No, I find that bizarre.
Staggered by it. Parramatta fans, all league fans, have you said, were you even aware this was a possibility? You know, you look at other charges and think, well...
Well, how can so you be could... facing a three-week suspension, yet also, but have the option to pay a fine?
So you say you could buy your way into a grand final. Like if you had a suspension, and could you then go to the league and say, well, how much is it worth?
Well, I think it's only
you know, can
for
you
grade
give me a fine
one.
Instead?
Yeah, no, I think grade ones are the only ones that carry that option. And he was a grade one crusher.
And can I be frank? The tackle got 3 weeks, Brandy. What was that about?
Yeah, but why?
It was almost it's just the old feel in the back of the neck. Like Dylan Edwards, is he in a neck brace today? How did he get 3 weeks? In light of other incidents that we have, how did that get 3 weeks?
No, I've got no idea.
Because
a grade one crusher doesn't carry a 3 week suspension, does it?
No.
Like It's not
we'll have to do a bit more digging on that one. It's just weird from all angles. But
the match review committee has confused me for most of the year. So why not finish
Brandy,
the year with a bang?
My headline: Brandy admits bamboozled by match review committee for one
and
entire
the
year
rules.
And is seeking help as a result. So there you go. Back to Mark McLinden. He thanked the security guards for doing their job too. That was a lovely little concession by him. Very reasonable, the people of Mullumbimby, once you get talking to them. Very reasonable. James Fisher-Harris has responded to his critics on social media. This is the quote. I'm cool with the players, and the area is not bad. Just trying to keep the rivalry alive. I hold up more respect for those players gone before me, us, so don't get it twisted. End of quote.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, That's fine. It's all, and I've said many times, Bossy. I said it yesterday. I've got no problem with James Fisher-Harris saying that they're the greatest Panthers team ever because, you know, when you look at the facts, they are. Mm. They are.
He was speaking for the moment. He was speaking for the moment again.
That's right.
You know, the whole thing, absolute storm in a teacup. He was speaking to the flock, full of drink, the day after the grand final. Mate, the crowd would have cheered if he did fart noises under his arm. Just got up there.
That's right.
They would have cheered. They would be, yay! What a poor role model. Yeah, he could have done anything. He could have got out juggling balls. You know, they were going to cheer. He was preaching to the masses of Penrith fans.
Do you think it's gone a little bit too far where the headline reads, "Please NRL save Penrith from itself"? Do you think
probably
that's a little bit over the top?
Yeah, it's a bit over the top. That's
I think so.
I don't think they need saving, the Panthers. In fact, as a rugby league fan since I was a little kid, I love champion teams. I love champion teams. Gee, time flies when you're having fun, just talking through some of the incidents. So we've touched on that. Cricket, Tim Payne's back. Tim Payne is back. We got news out of the Shield match over in Perth. There's a young star over there playing for WA that you're going to have to get your head around. We'll give you that story as well. Australia taking on the West Indies tonight up on the Gold Coast. And just in football, Ukraine is set to be part of Spain and Portugal's joint bid to host the 2030 World Cup. Under the move, which has been sanctioned by Ukraine's president, Mr. Zelensky, the war-torn country would host one of the groups in the tournament.
Well, they've got 8 years. They've got 8 years to get
yeah,
it together.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Surely, can we step up the Bentio campaign? It's like something sure. really needs to happen. Like if the World Cup's going to be in Ukraine in 2030, you know, Putin needs to be taken out, and I think Bentio is the man.
Well, that's a big statement too. There's another clickbait headline from Alexander. He's got a lot of bobs up on CNN's website. That's just fantastic.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We took some of your calls on the McDonald Jones open line on some of the hot topics in sports today. Don't forget, you can call us anytime on 1300 01 1170.
I think we should go straight to the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. After all the grand final, who saw this coming? And that's been the text. Like, how did we know this Mark McClendon? It's a really weird story that a four, like, and not just anyone. He wasn't just a bit part player. Mark McClendon, did he won the Dally M Rookie of the Year.
Did he?
At his best, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was very good. Very quick.
Very good.
Yep,
so he goes out on grand final night and is a pitch invader. John at Point Claire wants to buy into the discussion on the McDonald Jones open line. John, you're opening the batting on the open line this morning. What have you got about this one?
Well, I'm coming out of left field here now. I'm against sensationalistic headlines and storylines in any form of sport, but it seems to me that everybody, whether they're a past or present player, they're depicted as a star. Now, you sort of hit me there while I was waiting to be put through. You're talking about Mark McClendon's playing career, but the media tend to refer to everybody as a star.
Mm. Yes.
Now,
yeah, that's
in other words, what constitutes a star?
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point. But and you do see headlines, like when someone's committed some sort of an atrocity, and the headlines are rugby league star commits, and then you read the story and go, I've never heard of this bloke. Where's like he played one game 10 years ago or something. So, John, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call. Just for the record. Brandy, you can play the birthday game. This is a twisted. Mm. What year did Mark McClendon play his last game for the Canberra Raiders? That's a tricky one.
Gee, it's hard to get a timeline on things. Yeah, I'm going to say 2012.
2004.
Right. Wow. Yeah. 20 years ago.
It's a long time ago. John, just while you're there, do you love the headlines when they talk about wag of former rugby league star? And the rugby league star was a Ron Massey Cup player, and the wag is an influencer on Instagram with, you know, 600 followers. Do you like those sort of stories? I love them.
While I'm still here, I sometimes hear the term superstar. That must be the next level.
Yes, it would be. Yeah.
Or so supermodel.
Well, so superstar, I think, you know, that's allowed to be used if you've played 10 or more first grade games, NRL games. That's superstar status.
Mark McClendon, just for the record, John Sosafini, to give him credit where it's due, he was the NRL Rookie of the Year in 1998, Mark McClendon. And then after he finished with Canberra, he went over to England for 4 years. He played 4 years there. And then I must say, he played for the Queensland Reds in rugby union. That's his last high-profile sport. He played 3 matches for the Queensland Reds in 2009.
So what did he play? Over 100 games for Canberra?
Over 100 games? Yes, 165. Oh, yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, there's plenty. That's a lot in a short space of time. He barely missed a game. 65 tries. Mm. There you go. A bit of Mark McClendon. As I say, does it surprise you he lives at Mullumbimby these days? Colin of Warwick Farm is there for you, Brandy.
Colin, g'day.
Oh, g'day, fellas. Earlier on, I heard you tarring all the Christians with the same brush, saying that all Christians sort of believe the same thing. There's more Christians than there are teams in the league and with varying views, and fundamentalists are sort of in the minority, I think, in a lot of places. So, the man from Essendon, I think you said it was his own views, not Christian views that he was talking about. So,
right.
Be careful of tarring everybody with the same brush.
Okay.
Yes, no, but I will pick you up there. We'll pick up the ball and run with it here, Colin, that I'm saying in that broadly, in that situation, if a person is appointed to a job, is seen as the number one candidate, they've appointed him. He got the position for a day. Now, obviously, in the interviews, and it's not widely not known at all that he's part of this church that has these views, or that's part of the views of the church, and they've put out literature of that kind in the past. Well, he obviously doesn't shout it from the rooftops or whatever. He, the fact that they didn't know, I mean, does that mean you bring it up if the person says, oh, do you believe in the Bible? Is that the last question that we ask at a job interview to play first grade rugby league or to have a position in power in sports administration? Surely not. Surely not. That's not, got nothing to do with it.
Representative of the board said they couldn't ask him that question during the interview, and that's why it came out afterwards. But they're trying to avoid the controversy, not denigrate his views, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Okay. David Barham, who is the president, said, I want to stress that neither the board nor Andrew was aware of the comments from a 2013 sermon until we read about them this morning. So a 2013 sermon. Now, well, if Andrew wasn't aware of them either, this is Andrew Thorburn. Obviously, he didn't make those comments. So someone else in the church has made comments back in 2013, re-homosexuality and abortion, and they've been picked up, and now he's without a job.
Thank you for the call. America's dealing with that. I don't know whether you follow the American, this fellow Herschel Walker, running at the moment.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. Yeah, and he's just, he's a fair dinkum. How's this country? How could he be a candidate for anything? But he's got up there and he always quoting God, always quoting the scriptures. And he's against abortion. It's now been revealed that he paid for an abortion with his girlfriend in 2009. Or that's alleged in 2009. So it's a very, very delicate situation there around Herschel Walker. I've got to say, potentially the dumbest candidate I've ever seen run in politics anywhere in the world, Herschel Walker. He comes across as the dumbest candidate
ever. And is it the Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
Is it the former NFL?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you got to watch some of the clips. They produce
some good ones over there, don't they?
Yeah. We should probably run him. We could have daily thoughts of him.
Now, Darren from Ingleburn says, morning, boys. If Madison had his charge last week, I bet he pays the fine to play the grand final. Makes you wonder if he scheduled to have off-season surgery that may keep him out the first couple of rounds? Or is he just tight with his money? Well, that's another spin. That's another spin. That he could be out, could be missing the early rounds through surgery. So we don't know that, Darren. That could be a reason why he's not paying the fine. Because if he hasn't got surgery and he's not scheduled to miss the opening three rounds, I can't believe that you wouldn't pay a $4,000 fine play.
Not when you're on such good coin. Kev of Camden's come in with a beauty. Hey, VB, on pitch invasions, yes, increase the fines, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, which I think is a terrible saying. It needs to be a sliding scale with a complex algorithm based on how well-dressed you are and who you are. Okay, now stay with me. This is Kev of Camden. He says, for example, Hindy in a G-string, $25,000 fine. Hindy fully clothed, $5,000 fine. $5,000 as opposed to $25,000. Sophie Monk in a dress, $5,000, Sophie Monk streaking nude, let off with a caution. Very complicated algorithm, this.
Yeah.
And he also says, drunk premiership winners can hang as much crap on the other teams as they like. That's one of the perks of being champions. That's a simplistic, a beautiful simplistic view. Well done, Kev. I agree to that.
I don't know, but here's one from the Pearl, and he's just on the back of Andrew Thorburn, the Essendon CEO, who stood down after one day. The Pearl says, in society today, you are allowed to have your beliefs as long as they don't offend anyone. But, of course, everyone is offended by everything. In fact, if you're not offended by something, that in turn is offensive.
That's right. You're dead.
It makes me dizzy.
Yeah, that's right. That's so true. Another great text. Gee, our listeners are on the money today. They are on point, as we say. And just in relation to streakers, so do we have any leeway for pitch invaders? Is there any? Because I do remember a game at ANZ Stadium in Brisbane, and our Queensland listeners, there may be some, if they remember this particular day, it's a hot, sunny afternoon, Sunday afternoon game. It might have been a Saturday afternoon. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a day game. And a woman comes on the field, nude, except for one piece of apparel. She has a giant blow-up rubber hand. You know, the big finger. Well, those big hands she had.
Yeah.
She's allowed to run the length of the field. No security guards going near her. She gets down to the in goal, and the crowd is going nuts. Everyone's laughing and cheering. It's the greatest pitch invader of all time. The security guards don't rough her up. They grab her, but she's raising the hand. She's raising the big hand, the big finger up. One of the security guards grabs her arm and pulls the giant inflatable hand and puts it over her bottom half, front half. So there's dignity. Chivalry was alive and well that day. She marched off with a giant inflatable hand covering up the bottom half.
So the security guards pick and choose.
That's right. They pick and choose
who they tackle, who they rough up.
So Kev Camden might be right. The Sophie Monk algorithm could be true.
Yep.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. David Riccio from The Daily Telegraph joined us to fill us in on all the latest NRL headlines.
And now on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
Morning, Dave.
Morning, Brandy. Morning, Vossie.
That's pretty bizarre, isn't it? A former Dally M Rookie of the Year as the pitch invader.
Mm. Just extraordinary. When you think you've heard it all.
That's right.
Mark McClendon.
Can I throw something at you, David? This is the Big G, who's one of our stellar listeners. Like, he's in the immortal class. He's right up there. He's, you know, Hall of Fame stuff. He says, morning, Vossie and Brandy and David. We need an investigation as to how many other Rookie of the Year players have turned to crime. Earlier this year, we had a fuel thief and now a pitch invader. There was a Dally M Rookie of the Year from 84, drove off from a petrol station without paying.
Yes.
You know, so, David, you're going to follow this up, mate. You've got to follow
an investigation.
This up.
Yes. Investigate.
Rookies of the Year.
Well, I'm looking for some off-season work, so absolutely. A story to chase. That's the one, boys. That is the one.
Yeah.
Rise and fall. What about the couple of NRL clubs had their awards night last night?
Yeah, they certainly did, Brandy. And look, we'll start with St George Illawarra. They did hold their awards night last night. People might be wondering why that was, why so late, given their season ended several weeks ago. Look, I think it's in relation to the fact that the women's team was still going, and it was out of respect of them completing their competition, and that's why the Dragons held their presentation last night. But really, no surprises here, guys. Ben Hunt was named Player of the Year for St George Illawarra. As I said, no real surprise. He was absolutely outstanding. I really thought it would have been closer in the match race for the Dally M, to be honest, with Nicho Hynes. But Nicho clearly won it in a canter. But Ben Hunt, absolutely outstanding. Still waiting for confirmation on that contract extension, guys, as far as Hunt's future at the Dragons is concerned. It's been teetering along a little bit. A bit of backward and forward stuff going on as far as what Ben Hunt is asking for. It's pushing into that 900 category now, guys, as far as what Ben Hunt wants. But St George Illawarra really aren't willing to go that far. I can understand that. I can understand that, given his age and where the club's at, and then the potential flow-on of what would happen if Hunt is locked down on a long-term deal of big money. You run the risk of losing some of your young guns, notably Jaden Sullivan, who is right on the radar of the Dogs. So, yeah, look, a big season for Ben Hunt and a big night last night. Just at the Eels, guys, really quickly, it was a special night for Sean Lane. Hasn't he had an extraordinary season? He was also named the Ken Thornett Player of the Year and also the Nathan Hindmarsh Player's Player. Deservedly so. Contract-wise, again, guys, I expect him to sign a new three-year deal, Sean Lane, and that to be announced in coming days.
Now, Panthers players, we'll leave Brandy out of this discussion because if I ask him point-blank, he'll say, wait and see.
Yeah.
The Penrith players, some of the Penrith Premiership players and the club, the ones they're going to retain, the ones they're trying to retain, are there others that just won't get an offer? Where are we at with the stocktake of Penrith talent from the grand final?
Yeah, Vossie, Yep, Vossie, look, this is a byproduct of success, isn't it? And this is what we're seeing at the foot of the mountains. And straight away, back page today on the Daily Telegraph is the contract situation in relation to Liam Martin. Now, Liam and his management have been talking to the Panthers, I would say, for about 3 to 4 months now, attempting to get a deal done well beyond both the premiership win last week and also before November 1. And that's going to be the delicate process for the Panthers management and their salary cap management. Because Liam Martin sits among a rich list. And I'm talking about Charlie Staines, Brian To'o, Stephen Crichton, Spencer Leno, and Scotty Sorensen. Now, they are all open to negotiate and sign with another club within the next month. So from November 1, they can go to the open market and sign with a rival club. Now, the Panthers want to do everything they can to try and keep every single one of those players. And I think they'll go close, but at the same time, I'd be surprised if one doesn't fall out. And that's just a byproduct of winning premierships, Vossie. And so the situation with Liam Martin, his manager has declared the ball is in the Panthers' court. I expect Liam to stay, guys. I expect Liam to stay on a 4-year deal. Mm. That is what has been negotiated, a 4-year deal, and I expect that one to get done.
Ooh, now.
What makes
now,
it difficult this is, no, too?
That's what I do ask Brandy. Any update on that, Brandy? Any reaction?
No update, but working just towards it. Working towards it. Andrew, yeah, everything's going on in the background, and hopefully we can tie up all those players. They are all signed for 2023, so we are talking 2024.
That's right.
But yeah, Dave's right. Success makes it tough to sign everyone.
Mm. Yeah. Now, and I remember the World Cup
makes it difficult too because players get on a plane tomorrow on Thursday tomorrow.
Start talking. I remember after the 2020 grand final, did we speak to Trent Barrett on this program? Like he went to work the next morning at Canterbury. So the moment he finished his Penrith commitments, he drove to work the next morning while the players were, doing what they did to, wind down the season. He went straight off to work. Is Cameron Serraldo doing the same at the Bulldogs?
He certainly is. He certainly is. You'll like this, Vossie. He started his day at Joe Bell's at Belmore, the famous cafe that is so supportive of the Bulldogs.
Well, hello there. David's gone. Yeah, Joe Bell's.
Yeah, sorry, boys. I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm back.
Yes, David. Welcome back.
Started his day at the famous cafe at the Joe Bell at Belmore, and it was meeting after meeting. And this is, guys, I've got to say, I know it's early doors, but I'm happy to throw it out there. I believe the Dogs will make the 8 next year.
First prediction. And if they don't, what will you do, David? If they don't, is anything
you
do?
No, not second. Hang on a second. Hang on a second. Throw me under the bus there.
An early tip from Dave, Dogs will make the 8.
I just feel they only need a bit of tinkering as far as defence is concerned. We know Serraldo's background. He's so defence orientated. The key buys of Reid Marnie and Kickow, they showed great promise by the back end of the season under Mick Potter. I think they can do it, guys. I really think they can make a significant improvement and climb into the top 8.
On the way up, for sure.
Yeah. Now, I'll give you a quiz question, David, to finish. Very good report. How many Penrith players have won the Dally M Rookie of the Year since the award was introduced in 1980? How many Penrith players have won? There you go. There's a test for you. A lot of years, 42 years. How many?
I'll get to work on it because I don't know the answer at the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, the answer's one. Greg Elliott.
Right.
You're the only one, Brendan.
They're great
nursery. Yeah, but so many young players come through Penrith, Yes. But only one has won the Dally M Rookie of the Year. There's his greatness. The man co-hosting the program, Greg Alexander. Well done, Brendan.
There we go. Dave, thanks very much.
Have a great day.
Thanks, boys. Go well.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. The Sydney Kings got off to a good start to their premiership defence on the weekend against the Hawks. And ahead of their return to Qdos Bank Arena on Friday, we spoke with star Justin Simon.
Our next guest, he must be wondering, what the hell is this program that I've decided to come on today? Look, on Saturday night, I watched the Kings open their season against Illawarra Hawks. May I say, I thought the game was tremendous entertainment. The Hawks played well, played really well, led into the last quarter and led handsomely at some stage. But the quality of the Kings backing up on a premiership success, premiership winning year, I think Kings fans are pretty excited after one game. One is the import Derek Walton Jr. looks the absolute real deal with 32 points. And the acquisition of this man, Justin Simon, who also contributed 19 points, but former Defensive Player of the Year in the NBL with the Hawks, I think he's going to become cult hero stuff with the Sydney Kings fans. I think he won them over in one night. Justin Simon played up the crowd too to his former club. Why not? And he's on the program right now. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the program. And also, Friday night, the Kings will play their first home game for the season. Tickets $22, families $40. Tickets selling quickly, so you can get your tickets through Ticketek. That's against Brisbane Friday night. Justin, fair to say, not only was it tremendously competitive the other night, but you had some fun. And it was against the former club. And you played up to the crowd. That was fine in my book.
Oh, no, for sure, man, for sure. You know, it was a great environment out there at the Wynn Entertainment. You know, the crowd was amazing, man. They were giving me boos. Some people were showing me love. It was as expected, you know, as an individual coming back there. But as a team, it was great getting that environment and getting the W, especially on the road. And the first game, you want to start off on the right foot. So, you know, I think we did just that. A lot of things to take from that game. But all in all, man, it was great.
And Justin, as the defending champions, there will be pressure on all year. When you're the champs, everyone wants to knock you off. So that won't stop, will it? That will go all year. And it's always a job to try and go back-to-back.
Yeah, 100%. You know, with the team winning last year, and, you know, you can feel that that buzz, you know, with, you know, guys gunning for you and that target on your back. You can feel that, you know, every night. Especially, you know, with the blitz and the preseason games, and then, you know, the first game with the Hawks, you know, that rivalry and everything that is. But yeah, you can definitely feel that, you know, teams could be gunning for our head. And like I said, so, you know, we got a target on our back, but all, you know, every night we're going to put our best foot forward, compete on both ends, and, you know, just see how things go.
Well, lots of things caught my eye on opening night. I'm sure Chase Buford would like the way, the character of the side. I mean, it wasn't just on one occasion that you came behind from a significant deficit. I mean, it was a number mm-hmm. of times through the match. And to get there was real fighting qualities. Besides everything else, there was great character shown the other night. As much character probably as the jacket that Chase was wearing, I thought, courtside. The blue check number was rather catchy.
That was some flavor. He had some flavor with that. But it was a great fight by the guys, you know. We showed poise, you know, resilience, you know, with just being able to fight back and handle a little, you know, adversity as far as, you know, the crowd and everything. And they're making shots. They're at home. We didn't let any of that rattle us. You know, we have a real tight-knit group. You know, guys connect and, you know, we gel pretty well early, I feel, in my eyes. And, you know, just we're still creating that synergy, you know, on both ends. We're trying to move on the string. And we, you know, I think we did pretty well with that.
Making shots, I sure were. What about Lockie Dent? Was firing out of his backside.
Three-pointers.
It was incredible, the ring.
Lockie was on fire, man.
Tell us about Derek Walton Jr. We get to see him on court the other night for the first time. 32 points. He's the big star import. But how talented is he on court at training as well? He looks the full package for mine.
Man. I mean, what you see is what you get. I mean, this dude, he's an incredible, really talented point guard, man. One of the most talented point guards I've played with, man. You know, it's just hard. He's my teammate, man. Like, I become a fan. I'm watching just like you guys sometimes. And, you know, I'm just really amazed that he consistently makes the right play in my eyes, you know. You know, whether that's finding guys, whether that's him creating his own shot, I really think he's capable of doing both whenever he wants to. You know, he's always out there just making reads and making our lives easier, you know, setting us up well. He's a really talented point guard, man. I really can't say much other than that. Like, he's incredible, man.
Yeah, well, we're excited to watch the season unfold with players like yourself and Derek. Now, you played for the Hawks a couple of years ago. You're here now, back in Sydney. What did you do last year?
Oh, man, I was in Germany. I was in Germany playing in the BBL and then playing in Champions League. So I traveled all throughout Europe. We ended up placing third as far as in the Champions League, and then we finished in the semifinals for the BBL. But I was out in Germany. It was a great experience. Learned a lot. Had a lot of fun. It was my first time in Europe. And just all in all, I thought that went well for me and helped me develop as a man and a basketball player. So now that I'm coming here, I'm very familiar with the landscape of the league and taking some things I learned in Germany and bringing it here. And still just learning through our system here in Sydney and becoming better.
Yeah. How does the European League stack up against the NBL in terms of, quality?
Man, I like to think that it's a little different as far as in Europe. There's more imports. There's more imports of that game, but I feel like it's a little slower compared to the Australian style of basketball, compared to the NBL, excuse me, with the pace. I think there's a lot of, versatile guys within the league. This league is very versatile. Not as many teams, of course, but still the talent and the depth within this league is great. And that's what helps, the NBL, very attractive league. You see all the next stars, all the imports and everybody coming in, and all the Australians that are, handling their, doing their part and, in this league as well. So it's a really great league.
Well, Justin, Friday night, it's all on for home fans up against the likes of Aaron Baines in the Brisbane Bullets squad. It's a good one first up Friday night, and dare I say, King's ready to put on a show.
Oh, man, absolutely. Absolutely. I look forward for the crowd being electric. I think we're going to, raise the banner. So that's going to be special. How great for, the club, the guys that, played a part of that. And we're looking forward to getting W, on our home turf. So looking forward to that game, and it's going to be real excited and real competitive.
Yeah, good point. It is the celebration of last year's premiership Friday night. So you're going to be there to witness history. Opening night, tickets $22, families $40, tickets selling quickly. You can get yours through Ticket Tech at Qdos Bank Arena on Friday night. Justin, let's not make this the only time we catch up during the during the NBL season. Loved having you on the program, mate, and enjoy your time in Sydney with the Kings.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me, for real.
Good on you, Justin. Great.
Vossie and Brandy here. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Don't forget, you can listen live to the show every weekday morning from 6 till 9.
Tune in through 1170 AM in Sydney or anywhere in the world through the SEN app.